Hope you'll forgive me for jumping ahead of the season just a little bit, but in these few words before us this morning, I see Christmas. In fact, in these few verses from the last chapter of the Bible, I see the entire history of the world described from God's viewpoint. Follow along, if you will, in the worship folder as we read from the 22nd chapter of St. John's Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Do you see Christmas? Do you see the history of the world in these words? Let me take you through this passage image by image. It starts with a river. It says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Water of life is an apt phrase. Without water, there is no life. Water means life. And this river flowing out, we're told, from the throne of God and from the Lamb, is first of all the river of creation that flowed, that started in Eden, where God first created life and our first parents. And it flows here along this street, a pathway of history, a pathway of God's salvation plan from the beginning of the world up until now and on to the end. This is life water. This is salvation water, sparkling and crystal clear. For you and me, it reaches us most powerfully in the water of baptism. There is water that truly creates new life. Because we read here that it flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. When you picture in your mind the throne of God, what do you see? Elaborately decorated and beautiful chair. I'd suggest a different picture for the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb from which this salvation river flows. It's far better, I think, to picture as the throne of God a manger. It's far better, I think, to picture as the throne of God a cross. Both of them far more magnificent than any beautifully decorated chair in a magnificent palace. Those are the places from which God rules us and from which he serves us. This salvation river flows along this street, that is, along the ages of history, watering the trees on either side. Salvation history is full of trees. At the beginning was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that tempted our first parents and brought us all ruin. Even more important was the tree that reversed that ruin. St. Peter wrote of it when he said, "He himself, that is Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you are healed." The tree of the cross is this tree of life. And it brings us fruit. We read here about the 12s. This tree that brings us life bears 12 kinds of fruit, and it bears them every month perpetually throughout the years and throughout the ages. God worked out his salvation plan through the 12 sons of Jacob, through the 12 tribes of Israel, his chosen people. And then the gospel of salvation went out to the whole world through the 12 apostles, and it still does today. And what's the purpose? What's the effect of this fruit? We're told that it is healing. Healing. Curing this wound of separation between God and us due to our sin. We read here, it's called the healing of nations. And can't you hear the song of the Christmas angels in that phrase where they sing, "We bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, all people." And that's why the prophet can say here, there will be no more curse. St. Paul explained it this way when he said, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" And finally, the prophet here looks into his future and he sees us. Us, God's servants, the ones chosen and sealed with Jesus' name on our foreheads, the ones who believe in him, the ones who by faith have put on Christ's sinlessness, won for us by him on the cross. And I hope you're seeing yourself in this description in these words. And what about them? What about these ones who are sealed by Christ, or should I say, what about us? We read, they will serve him. And isn't that happening now? As you serve him in your vocation as a student, or as a teacher, or as a staff member, or whatever it might be. They will serve him, we read, and they shall see his face. Contemplate that. Remember that Old Testament story where Moses, who had won God's favor as a faithful servant, asked a favor of God. He asked to see God. And God told him, remember, I will show you. I'll put you in a cleft in the rock and I'll pass by. But as I pass by, first I'll put my hand over you, and then when I pass by, I'll remove my hand and you'll see my back. But God said, you will not see my face, because no one can see my face and live. Yet at this first Christmas, with the proclamation of that good news of great joy that will be to all people, when God entered the world to carry out his plan to remove the curse, those shepherds came in from the field and they peered down into the manger and they gazed upon the face of God. The prophet says, the curse is gone. Our sins are forgiven. We shall see his face. So read this remarkable passage three times. Read it as a description of the past, of the entire history of God's salvation plan as he carried it out in this world to save us. Read it a second time as a description of now, of us, his servants, sealed with his name on our foreheads, with our sins forgiven, we serve him even now. And will into the future, as you read this for the third time, as a description of what is to come, where we will live, as our hymn leads us to think of this place of beauty and of light, where by God's grace we will all enjoy reigning with Jesus. Jesus reigns there. He will bring us there to reign with him in heaven, and we will see his face. Thanks be to God. Let's rise and pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.